written in Matthew, chapter 25, verse 14, to be found on page 994 in the Church Bible. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Again, it would be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So, take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you. Let me just pray for us before we begin. Heavenly Father, this is a passage that speaks about using what you've given us for you. Lord, I pray it would stir our hearts and help us to desire, to long to put to work what you have given us. Lord, so that you may be glorified in what we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Just do a little more. I was a little disappointed in that. Why don't you do this? That will make it better. Just keep going a little longer. I don't know if you've ever heard some of those phrases when you've been maybe doing something before. Certainly things that I may have heard at school, and at times you may have heard at work. A perpetual and constant movement to keep doing more, to keep working harder, to keep doing better, to keep pushing for success and results. And if not, then at times you may hear words like disappointed, or things may even be worse. But I want you to see that in our passage, serving the Lord in the kingdom while we wait for his return is different. It does not have the same flavor. It is a different type of service. So let's look at the context first of our passage because it's helpful. This passage is set in a kind of a time when Jesus was talking about the end times. So what to do in the time between Jesus' return and us living now. So this is kind of, what are we meant to do now? What does it look like to be a Christian now as we wait for Jesus' return? Beforehand, there's been words used like watchful and ready. And this passage we see is going to help expand on what it means to be a watchful and ready servant. So the first thing I want to see is that we serve with God-given resources. If you look at, and I'll explain why I use the term resources. So in verse 14 and 15, you see they're given money. This, if you've read the old NIV, you may notice is the parable of the talents. It does imply a slightly more broader range of things than just money. Resources, for example. Perhaps what we have in not just money, but maybe in other things like housing or cars or things like that. It's kind of a whole cumulative of our resources. And it's given according to ability. This would be God-given ability. So captivating the kind of the word resources is both the idea of the things we have and the things we can do. And they're given to us. The resources we have are given according to ability. And it's all wrapped up together. It is the ability from God. It is from the Master. And this, I believe, is a real encouragement. A real encouragement to us that it's not about making more of what we have, but using what we have faithfully. We see that from the two results. So you see that the master applies to both servants, well done, good and faithful servant, even though they don't both bring back the same amount. So some simple maths, 5 + 5 = 10, 2 + 2 = 4. So one guy is given more, and he produces more, and receives the same verdict. One guy is given less, he produces something out of that. It's not as much as the first person, but he still receives the same verdict. So what does that mean for us? Well, the first thing I want to say, when you think about the resources you've been given, both abilities and things you have, focus on what you have, not on what you can't do. So, for example, I remember when I was younger, and I was sort of learning what it means to be a Christian, I spent a lot of time looking around and wishing I was like someone, something else. I don't know why I got this in my head, but for me to be a Christian, young man, meant you had to be able to play a musical instrument. I don't know why I got this in my head. So for me, someone who has about as much musical talent as a fish, that was quite challenging, because I looked around and I thought, oh, I haven't got this. I can't do it. And it kind of made me think, well, what can I do? I don't know if you've ever done the same thing. You've looked around and you've wished, oh, I wish I could be like that. I wish I could do that. I wish I could do that. I wish I could do that. I wish I could be more welcoming like that person. I wish I could have a bigger smile like that person. I wish I could have a listening ear like that person. And what I was doing, rather than looking at the things that God had given me, the resources I had, I was far more wrapped up in what other people did and could do. And so I'd encourage you, if nothing else, to realize this. God has given us, all of us, things we can do, resources, abilities, and other resources for us. And I'd encourage you to, if nothing else, to pray, to see the things I can do with what I have, not the things I can't do. You'll see that's really important, because the verdict is the same. Whether or not we have 2 bags or 5, or even something in between or something less, it's about using what we have to honour God, not wishing we had other things. And interestingly enough, what happens when I was looking out and thinking, oh, I wish I could be like that, I spent all my time focusing on trying to be to do something that the Lord may have not gifted me for, rather than looking at ways I could serve him. In fact, it was hindering my service by looking around like that. But there is a challenge with the idea that we are given different amounts of resources. Because if we have lots of resources, then much will be expected of us. This is kind of a kingdom principle Matthew brought in earlier. If we have lots of resources, much will be expected of us. See, the five-talent man produced five talents. So if you find you are capable in lots of areas, then maybe that is because the Lord wants you to use those for God, for him and his kingdom. He's not asking you to do more than he has equipped you for. He's not asking you to do more than that. But he is asking you to use those resources, to put them to work. I find this really, really interesting. So you can see what a ready servant looks like. At once, so immediately he put his money to work. So as soon as we become a follower of the Lord Jesus, we're equipped, we're given, we're ready to go. At once, we can put our gifts to work. Now, of course, it may take a bit of time to develop and grow. I understand that. It's not that immediately we'll start doing things incredibly well. But there is a kind of active movement towards using what we have to serve God. And as I say, if we find we seem to be filled with abundance of resources, abundance of abilities and capabilities, then the Lord is asking us to use all we have to serve him. If you're someone who maybe knows a little bit, feels and knows that you may not have the resources and abilities of someone else, for whatever reason, God is not asking you to do more than what he's equipped you to do. You don't need to look around. Serving is not trying to beat one another. It's not trying to play the one-up game of serving. I'm a better servant than you are. It's not all of us doing the same thing. It's about identifying what God has given us and putting them to work. What can you do? How can you use the gifts you have to serve the people of God? The two servants are not passive, they're active. Now, why is it I can be satisfied with knowing that I'm not the best servant? Why is it I can be satisfied and say, oh, it's okay. It's okay that some people are very gifted at musical instruments and I'm not. It's okay that some people are better listening ears than I am and I'm not. Why is it okay for me to say, that's okay? Well, because in the kingdom, even though the people had different gifts and had different amounts, came back, they received the same reward. There was the same verdict. Both of them had this. So they come back, they put their money to work, they put what they had to work, they come back, and the master says to both of them, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And then the other man, one was up, two bags, you know. Could have been a bit like, oh, I've only got two, so I had five, what's going to happen? And then verse 23, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. See, both received the same reward. They have an increased responsibility and the share in the master's joy. Same reward and verdict. Even though they didn't produce the same amount. I'm sure this is absolutely counter to what you've been taught. If you imagine you were, let's say, working somewhere and you were working, maybe you were competing against another employee for the Employee of the Month award. If you knew that you hadn't produced as much, whatever it was, if you hadn't produced as much as the other person, you would know straight away that it probably isn't going to you. If your targets were not met as well as the other person, it probably isn't going to you. See, everything since we've basically been born, we're always taught if we do more, do better, the reward is more and better. Our culture has that. That's why jobs are, different jobs have different amounts that they're paid. It's all about comparisons. I have spent my entire time looking up most of the time, and always feeling inadequate. Two ways in which sometimes I notice this. Number one, I play table tennis quite a lot. That's exciting. Some of you may know that. I'm fairly capable at the sport. But with the comparison thing, I'll always look up at the kind of people above me and always feel that I'm not as good as maybe I am. Because in the comparison game, I never really look down most of the time, but I'm always looking up. So I'm always feeling inadequate. Another time sometimes I feel that is when I go to a conference. It's a really good conference for ministers. But I go there and I look around and I know a few people. I know some faces of a few people, perhaps because I've read their books. And I think, wow, you're doing so much. You know, you probably have, maybe you have youth groups of 50, 60, perhaps seven services a day. I don't know. Thousands of people. And my heart, my sinful heart, starts to feel inadequate. I start to, rather than looking again to put what I've been given to serve the Lord, I start to sort of resent or look up. Or it may be that for some of us, the serving, we do look down, and the comparison is a downward thing. And that means serving just becomes a hardship. We feel we have to. I have to serve. I have to impress others around me. It's a comparative game. Perhaps I use it as a bargaining chip. I do so much already. How could you ask me to do more? I don't need to listen to this. We may judge others for not serving in the way we think they should. And I don't know about you, but if you felt that frustration of those comparisons, that finding service a hardship, a burden, then come follow Jesus and serve him instead. Serve a better master and hear this amazing verdict. The parable says that our responsibility is to put to work what God has given us. It's not about others. It's not about looking around and working out who's better. All those who serve him faithfully will receive this verdict. Jesus said, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Now, why is that? Well, it's because serving is no longer about the stress of competing, but the joy of faithfulness. God, I love you, and I will serve you with what I have. I know, God, you're a good God. I know you are a God who's given me the things I have to help me serve. You've given me what I need to serve. By your Holy Spirit, you're enabling me to serve. As I serve, you are watching over me. Lord, I'm not going to be looking around and asking myself, is this the best sermon I've done, or is this the best session I've done? I'm going to put my abilities to work, my resources to work, because I love you. And I delight to hear that verdict. So we've seen that we serve with what we've given. We're going to serve faithfully. We long to hear that verdict. But we're also called to serve proactively. See, there is a lot of this passage spends some time focusing on that guy that has the resources. It's a large portion of this story, this parable. And his failure to do nothing with the gold. He pushes back against his master. He says things about him. And the verdict is different. He is thrown out into a horrible place, a weeping and gnashing of teeth. More will be given to those who continue to serve faithfully, verse 29. And those who have turned away from Jesus, whatever they have, they will not have any longer. So we have to stay here. There must be something serious about, in the time we are between Jesus' return, there has to be something serious about not using what God has given us. Because that verdict is in verse 30, and throw out the worthless servant outside into darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A horrible place. That is a serious thing. Something none of us, I'm sure, want. So we have to ask ourselves, there must be an issue, a danger, a seriousness of not using what God has given us. Perhaps if we are unwilling to serve God, then it shows that we have not recognized him as our master. Service is all about focusing on something else. That's what we do when we serve. We focus on the person we're serving, on the Lord. I guess if we have a real unwillingness to serve with what we've been given, perhaps that means we're not focusing on our master. We're not focusing on God. We're more concerned about ourselves. So I quite like the idea of being a servant, or even actually what would be better would be a translation, be a slave. Because they're entirely wrapped up, everything, who they are is wrapped up in who their master is, who they follow. And if our master is the Lord, then we are entirely wrapped up. Everything we have is wrapped up in using it for him, of putting it to work, what he's given us. So there is a challenge for us all here, a real challenge. We need to ask ourselves, are we doing all we can? Are we putting to work what God has given us? We have a responsibility to steward and care and put to work the resources God has given us. Knowing that he, under his wisdom, can make it grow. So what would I encourage you to do now? Well, one of the ways to work out maybe what you could do or how you could serve, if there's areas in your life maybe you could you could serve is to ask this question. Think back recently. So this is actually a question from the home group study, so this will prepare you for that. So you can have a little think now, and then you can share your answers with each other. But think about this. What are two things you've done recently that you've been successful at? It could be anything. I'm even thinking like, I've successfully recently done the washing up. Okay, I'm quite proud of that actually. What skills did I use to do the washing up? Well, a bit of persistence, a bit of patience, a bit of elbow grease, things like that, for example. You might think of something, well, I successfully managed to organize or arrange something. Maybe I filed something away in a system that now works really well. Maybe you successfully were able to look after some children. Maybe you successfully able to, any little thing like that. And then just think to yourself, what were the skills I used? And again, think is a little bit harder about this than just, I stood there and did this, washing up, for example. Think a little bit harder about it, because there may be skills there you've used that you could put to work for St. Patrick's. If you are successful with washing up, for example, Lunch Club always needs people to wash up, so that could be really put to use. Speaking to myself as well there. But there may be ways and skills you've got that you didn't quite realise you have, we haven't thought much about, and you may be able to put them to use for the Lord. If you do that exercise, you think, right, I've got a little list, maybe write down a few things, you think, okay, I can do those. You can come and talk to me, and we can have a little sit down and think, right, okay, what would be a really good way to put to use the resources you've been given? What would be a really good way to put to work what you have? Again, not worrying about whether or not it's something that maybe people think is a really amazing job, or whether it's something people think is quite an ordinary and simple job. That doesn't matter. It's not about impressing others. It's not about serving so I look good. It's not about serving so and comparing myself to others. It's thinking, God, this is what you've given me. So Lord, please help me to use it for you. And our motivation is, I think, comes from this, actually. I was really thinking about that verdict of, well done, good and faithful servant. And imagine, I was thinking, imagine this. So standing before Jesus, and he asks, why should you be in my kingdom? He said, well, because of you, Jesus, what you've done for me. You saved me. And as we walk in, he shakes our hands and says, well done, good and faithful servant. That verdict. I don't know, the more I thought about it, the more I thought, that's got to be the best verdict you could ever hear. From the Master who's given you these things, who says to you, well done, good and faithful servant. It doesn't matter what someone else has done, it doesn't matter what other people have, but we want to hear that verdict, that incredible verdict. And I hope that makes you think, how can I put to use what I have? How can I serve practically? How can I wait to hear that verdict? Well done, good and faithful servant. Let us pray. Lord, you ask us to serve with what you've given us. To serve faithfully, to serve you. To serve proactively, to put to work what we have. But Lord, I pray we wouldn't do that because we feel like we have to. I pray we wouldn't turn to you like that. The one talent servant, the one bag old servant did and be angry and annoyed. I pray, Lord, we would turn to you and long to hear that verdict because we love you, Lord, and we want to honour you and serve you with what we have. So, Lord, help us now. Help us over the next week, perhaps, to think about what we have. And, Lord, please help us to put it to work. Help us to put it to work to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.